Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Sports Virgins, the podcast from Pomodo, where a pair of total sport novices, that's me, Amy Vose,
and me, Matt Richardson,
get to learn all about the world of sport.
On this episode, we discussed prize money.
Yeah. I thought you said, when you said ATP, I thought you meant eight, as in 80 pence, 80 pence, but you mean
as the prize
letters.
Money.
Snooker.
A fart, thank God, because it's a tedious sport.
Yeah.
And UFC.
What? Like Love Island or something? But fighting.
Welcome to Sports Virgins. Sports Virgins, welcome back. How are we all?
Very good, you mean us? You. Yeah, good, good. I mean, I don't consider myself a sports virgin anymore. I feel like I've at least reached sports second base.
Oh, he's still on the baseball. I actually learnt something outside of this podcast about sport at the weekend, which I thought was quite interesting.
Is that cheating, though?
I feel like you're cheating on me right now, Amy.
Yeah, I do feel it's cheating.
No, I don't know. Well, it was more about the etiquette than the actual sport. So I know we've touched on golf and how we're only really interested in it, Matt and I, if it's like, you know, crazy golf, that would be good fun. Anyway, there was some friends of ours we were chatting to who, they went golfing with a guy and they said that during the, what do you call it, a match game? What do you call it?
Round of golf, yeah.
He did a thing where when it went off into the bushes, he went and picked up the golf ball, and that's basically cheating, right?
I mean, if you hit it into the woods or the rough, then obviously you need to try and find it, and then you need to play it from where it is. But if you either can't find it, if it's not playable, you are allowed to pick it up and then drop it somewhere else, but you take a penalty shot for that. So are you saying that he basically sneakily just picked it up and, like, chucked it somewhere safer?
Yeah, apparently he kept doing that. And they were like, he is a golfing cheat. And I was like, ooh.
You gain a few shots, don't you, if you do it, basically?
Yeah, exactly. So you take a penalty shot. But the tactic is that if you find a ball and you just claim it's yours.
Because they all look the same.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I see. Right.
But what you got to look out for is if you're playing with a, let's say, a Titleist, and the ball's a Callaway, then, you know, obviously you need to be mindful of.
I don't know the last two things you just said.
They're both brands of golf ball and golf equipment.
Oh, when you said Titleist, I thought you meant like the leader, like the best golfer.
You're like...
won the title.
Like if you're like prejudiced, but like I'm Titleist, so I only like people with titles, like that. Is that what you thought he meant?
I'm just all round lost.
I'll only hang out with Viscounts, minimum.
Right, yeah, it's just the etiquette side of it. Is a whole other... You could learn a sport, but I
whole other ball
like
game.
Well, it is. I was trying to think of another phrase and there really isn't one, so...
There's a lot of honesty calls in golf and it's quite easy to spot a cheater.
Apparently Donald Trump's a real bad cheater when it comes to golf.
I am surprised by
Can
that
you believe
information.
It?
Well, he doesn't lose
we
it
We need
anything.
To recount, okay? Okay, recount.
It must be so infuriating playing with him because he would literally never would concede, would he? He would literally just be... He won and that's it.
Yeah.
Plus he owns most of the golf courses probably, so you're not allowed
to true.
Win. Okay, so anything else that we've missed in the... Well, we've inevitably probably missed in the sporting world, Dylan? Fill us in.
Yeah, do you know what? There was a lot of really interesting stories around the sports world this weekend. A couple of things. So to start off with, the rugby was back on, but nothing really interesting happened there, to be honest with you. But we'll gloss over that one pretty quickly. In the swimming, so Adam Peaty, who is the greatest English swimmer at the moment, so he broke the world record in the 100 meter breaststroke on the weekend. So
I think I've met him. Is he visiting him?
Maybe. I don't know.
Is he from Leicester? Is that what you're going to ask?
Just trying to crowbar in a Midlands vibe. I don't think it was Leicester. It might be Nottingham.
So when he got to the end, did Tony the Tiger give him the trophy or?
Yeah,
what
the trophy
badge
wasn't
did he get for
badge.
That? Where did you sew that one on your trunks?
But thankfully, he remembered the number of lengths he was doing. So at least, unlike the Lithuanian guy the other day, he didn't stop.
God, poor bloke.
Yeah, so he broke the world record. It was his own world record, so he's broken that multiple times. He's going to be one of the greatest ever swimmers from the UK, I would have thought. He's still young, but he will be, I'm sure. In the tennis, it was the ATP finals at the O2. Are you familiar with what that is at all?
Yes, it's a tennis tournament in the arena. It's indoor tennis, which is different to badminton. Who knew?
Well done. Badminton, badminton's underrated. I think badminton's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like badminton because it's like you're always watching it in a slow motion replay.
Yeah, and you could do really big shots and they're quite easy, but it feels massive and you're like, nailed that. Yeah. I thought you said, when you said ATP, I thought you meant eight, as in 80 pence, 80 pence, but you mean...
as the prize money.
ATP, right?
The letters ATP.
Okay.
The prize money was a slightly higher than 80 pence. So the ATP finals, this is the season-ending championship, so the top eight players in the world at the end of the season, they play in a bit of a tournament to see basically who wins the overall. It's not really a league, but it's regarded as the fifth Grand Slam outside of the, you know, the four main Grand Slams, so it's quite a prestigious thing to win.
But it's trying to be a Grand Slam, so it's a bit like that guy who says he's the fifth Beatle.
Yeah, exactly. That's it's a bit of a wannabe.
Who is that?
He's called George something, I don't know.
But the good thing about that is, so you had Danny Medvedev beat Dominic Thiem in the TM, whatever, however you pronounce his name, in the final, and they both beat Nadal and Djokovic in the semi-final. So maybe this is a bit of a changing of the guard in terms of tennis, where you've had, you know, Djokovic, Federer and Nadal have dominated for so many years. So hopefully now we're going to see a few more younger players taking them on.
Because they are all quite old for tennis now, aren't they, really?
Yeah, well, Federer certainly is. I'm not sure about Nadal.
How old is Federer?
I think he's about 36-ish,
guess. It's mental that's... He looks a lot older than that, doesn't he?
He does look older, and I feel like, because he's been in our lives so long, but maybe he's almost ready to retire to his homeland of Spain. I don't know.
It's all that Mediterranean sun. That's why he looks so old. He's not putting on enough sunscreen.
Exactly.
Oh, he's 39, actually, so he's a bit older than I thought. She's 39.
All right.
But I think Djokovic and Nadal are probably like 34. Four-ish, you know, so they've still got a few more miles on the clock, but hopefully we'll start seeing some of these younger guys taking them on a bit more. The Premier League returned this weekend, and as per usual, there was more VAR shenanigans.
I'm confused because I thought that had restarted ages ago.
Well, okay, sorry. It restarted ages ago, but it stopped for the international break for about 2 weeks.
It must be so out of sync with the virus and everything. Is everything just a bit of a mess at the moment?
Zoom football's not quite as fun, is it?
Exactly.
Well, I did hear, they did announce today that they're going to be allowing people back into stadiums. So that's good news, right?
Yeah. Are they?
It's like 1,000. Well, it depends on the size and stuff, but yeah.
So to go back to this, what is VAR?
Well, come on, this is something I was going to ask you. Have you heard of VAR?
Is it virtual or augmented reality? Is that what it is?
No.
Oh. No. VAR is when they watch a decision back and then they decide whether or not it was a penalty or whether it was offside or anything like that. I guess the controversy is it can ruin a game at times because it takes a lot of time, is it?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of controversy around it. So the acronym stands for Video Assistant Referee.
Nowhere near with my guess.
Virtual was close, I guess.
Virtual augmented reality does sound like a thing, though. So.
Yeah, it does sound like a thing.
It is a thing, I'm sure. But yeah.
Okay, cool.
Not in football. I don't understand why football have got it so wrong, to be honest with you, because other sports have seen huge success in a video ref style functionality. So like cricket is a big integral part of the game. Tennis is the same with Hawkeye. Rugby has seen good success with it. But yeah, football, I don't know, just hasn't seemed to have worked. And I guess maybe it's because a lot of the decisions are a bit more subjective than sort of black and white. And also, I think generally football people, obviously this is coming as a rugby man, but football people just love to moan about something. You know, beforehand, they love to moan that the ref got it wrong, but now it's not the ref, it's VAR. So there's always something that they're going to, you know, direct their anger towards.
I know it obviously would never happen or work, but imagine like to really jazz sport up if they took a decision and you had like buzzers in the crowd, like in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and you could do like 50-50, Like, how cool would that be if you could actually be involved in a decision? Obviously, it would not work because you've got opposing teams, but...
Amy, you don't want them to jazz sport up because otherwise this podcast wouldn't exist. This is basically what we're doing, is jazzing up a bit of sport.
Good point.
Exactly. So, yeah, VAR, I'm sure this will be an ongoing talking point throughout the year, but every single week there seems to be some more like shenanigans and controversies and dramas around it. But, yeah, it's a bit tedious, really.
Bloody get over it, football fans.
They should just accept.
Football fans love that. Just get over it, guys. You lost a game. God, it's only a game.
It's only a game. It's 22 men kicking a ball on a field. Like, why don't you chill out a bit?
Yeah, just accept that the referee's decision is final.
The referee is not a wanker.
He's just a lovely chap. He's probably
the referee, in this case, is binary code. So let's just all chill out, shall we?
Exactly. You should sit down, Matt, with like proper football hooligans and just have it out, you know, just
be like, what's with all the fisticuffs?
Yeah, but that's silliness.
It's a good point, though, with the whole the referee's a wanker chant. Like, now that crowds are going to return to football, I wonder if the, you know, the football supporters have come up with some new chants around VAR, because the referee's not a wanker anymore, so what's the new chant going to be?
Yeah, good point. So that's hopefully they've been quite creative, because I have heard some chants before I thought, that's a bit disappointing.
It'll be something, surely it'll be something like, they'll be going, you've had your job taken by a MacBook, or something along those lines.
Very good. So, yeah.
How do the fans like learn? So, oh, I don't know. It's like some horrible song about when, you know, when like David started dating Victoria and.
Yeah,
a current one.
We all know. Yeah, that's all I can think. Do they circulate the lyrics in the crowd, or do a few people start chanting it and then it picks up?
They have a hymn sheet that they distribute beforehand. No, they don't. There's a core group of people who tend to lead these things, and they meet down the pub. I've often wondered it myself, to be honest.
My brother's really into the chants and is on like the Reading FC forums where they're like, right, lads, this is the one we're singing. Okay. And he'll like read up on it so he can sing with them all.
Oh, really?
So yeah, there is a hardcore faction where they work it all out.
I've often thought with those chants that whoever starts it off, it's quite a brave thing to do, isn't it? In a football stadium where there's like 40,000 people, or there's a couple of thousand people around you, it's quite a brave thing to stand up and start singing on your own. Because what if nobody sings along with you?
Yeah, it's quite embarrassing.
That's a show I would watch.
Maybe this is an idea for a show, Matt, where we put you in stadiums and we give you some quite complex lyrics, something that's
not
that catchy.
And to see if I can do it.
Just see what you can really get out there.
Who's the guy that does the Military Wives Choir? That we should get him involved.
Gareth,
and just be like, Gareth Malone goes into a football ground and tries to get football chants going. That is a TV show.
There we go. That's a winner. So on to the next one. So the UFC has been happening, you know, almost weekly, actually. So it was UFC 255 on the weekend. And
are they doing it on this island?
Yeah, UFC Island, yeah.
What? Like Love Island or something?
Yes, but no.
But fighting.
Yeah, so there's an actual island that they all go to and they quarantine and they get in a bubble and it's all really safe.
They've bought a private island to do UFC on.
No way. Where is the island? Is it somewhere amazing?
It's like undisclosed, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know why
somewhere...
they need to do that. I wouldn't dare go there.
Imagine trying to break into UFC Island.
Good luck.
I mean, it does sound like a bit like a Fort Boyard ripoff, doesn't it?
Yeah. But the story here is that a fighter called Mike Perry. So you know when fighters, whether it's boxing or UFC or anything, they have their walk-on music, like their ring music. And, you know, it's quite an integral part of the whole thing. You know, it's motivational for them. It's something that is planned for weeks in advance. But anyway, they played the wrong song on the entrance to his fight. Bear in mind, this guy is ready to go to war in a second, and they played the wrong song. So did you see this at all?
I did see the clip.
No, I've not seen it. But... Please explain it to me, because I'm in the dark.
So Amy, do you remember what the actual song was?
Wasn't it Beyonce Halo?
Yeah, correct.
That is not...
It was the wrong song.
Correct, yeah. I don't
what
actually
was the song
know.
Meant you
know
to be?
I'm not sure what the song was meant to be, actually. But they played Beyonce. It's one of the worst walk-on
It's not
songs
really ever. The vibe, is it?
No. Like,
the only thing that would be worse is if Dido came on.
Live.
You're just ready to go, and it's like, and I want to thank... Like, yeah, it's just not... It needs to be something big, doesn't it? Surely, yeah. And like serious, I mean, and exciting.
You could, like, if it was Beyonce, at least if it had been something a little bit meatier, like Crazy in Love or Formation, Who Run the World. Like, but the fact that it was, I Can See Your Halo.
Halo.
I mean, it's such a lovely song, but. I didn't see the bit how he reacted. Did he go with it?
So I think he embraced it. First of all, he was like, what the F is this? Like, confused. Yeah. But then, to be fair, he played up to it and he started like singing top of his voice.
You know what, though? What a classy move, I think.
Yeah, he did, yeah. He lost, but you can blame Beyonce for that.
That's why.
But or maybe the opposing fighter paid the sound guy off and said, right, do me a favor and stitch him up.
But then you sneak into, rather than UFC, like that's the kind of storyline you'd find in WWE, and that would then get me into UFC.
Yeah, absolutely. So
they're making a TV show around the actual island, like behind the scenes. Or,
are they?
I don't know. No, are they? Because they should be.
What, like, with like Ian
UFC
Sterling?
Island. Yeah.
Tonight! On UFC Island, there's trouble in paradise as Ewan has a conversation at the fire pit with Henry.
Exactly. I would watch that.
Yeah, so that was quite amusing. You know, it didn't make me think that, you know, if Amy had a job as a sound person for UFC, maybe that's the kind of thing that she would do.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So the next story is back to the world of football. So Sheffield Wednesday played Preston in the Championship. So, you know, you'd think not a huge news story. But what happened there, and again, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a player called Darnell Fisher who grabbed the genitals of one of the Sheffield Wednesday players called Callum Patterson.
Really?
So he gave him a bit of a tickle in the balls.
On purpose?
Well, it looked a bit weird, to be honest with you. It's been investigated, so he'll probably get fined or banned or something. But
Okay, fair enough. That's,
you know, the other guy wasn't trying to fight him or anything. It all looked a bit weird. I'm not sure whether they're friends. And they're
Are you sure you're watching the right video of this?
Watch it.
I mean, it was very strange when there was no one else in the locker room. They started kissing and sucking each other's willies. Like, it was just. I don't really understand what's going on. I found it on this. It's on hottwinks.com, the video, if anyone wants to see it.
I was about to ask what Hot Twinks is, but I don't think I should.
It's, yeah, you don't want to know.
I mean, if the other guy was up for it, though, and was okay with it, can they drop the investigator, I suppose?
Yeah, who knows? Really, I guess it definitely wasn't like a grab and a tug. That's a terrible word to use, isn't it? A grab and a yank is a bad word as well. But so, anyway, it was more of a tickle.
But are they potentially friends and it was like a jovial little thing rather than it being like, I'm going to hurt you or even I've just grabbed you by accident?
Well, it definitely wasn't an accident. Potentially they are mates, but I guess time will tell. There's more to come from the story.
Is that what boys do as mates? Just do a little ball tickle?
I mean, look, you're talking to the wrong people. I'm in show business and he played rugby. So yes, it is absolutely what we do.
Well, so this actually happened in the Six Nations.
I remember that. I remember that happening, yeah.
What happened in the Six Nations?
So Joe Marler, who plays for England and, you know, is well known as a bit of a clown, really. He's a bit of a joker. He gave Alan Wynne-Jones, who's the world's captain, he gave him a bit of a tickle in the balls. But they used to play with each other. So
it still do by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
So that was clearly a joke, but he still got banned for 10 weeks for doing that.
Did he really?
10 weeks?
Yeah.
It's not professional, but like, no, if you work in an office with someone that you're mates with and like you're down the pub and you like have a bit of a tickle and a play and that's fine. In an office, it's not acceptable. And that is how you look at people on a sports
team. Yeah, a lot of people say that. Yeah. And,
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's a couple of other high-profile incidents of this. So back in the good old days when Vinnie Jones grabbed Gazza's balls, but in a very jokey way. So
yeah, but it looked quite aggressive, that one. Like the image of Gazza, like...
It was one of those where I don't think, I could be wrong here, but I don't think he got like fined and banned and stuff. He was just more seen as a joke back then.
Yeah, but it was different times back then, wasn't it?
I watched that Gazza documentary I mentioned the other week and he did once take an ostrich to training just as a practical joke. So yeah, I don't think you'd get away with that now, would you?
Oh, you know what? Imagine being Gazza's PA, getting a call at 4 in the morning while he's absolutely off his chops going, right, I need an ostrich at 10.
here's my Leicester mention. Apparently Gazza's moved to Leicester. My friend told me that on the weekend. So there we go. There's my Leicester mention. Right. I crowbarred it
fucking
in.
Unbelievable. No, unbelievable.
No more. But there was one other incident of similar to the grabbing the genitals. The worst one of these that I've seen, there was a rugby league player in Australia called John Hopewadi, who his thing was when someone's in a tackle and they're trying to get the ball off him, he'd stick his finger up their bum.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So he did it a couple of times and then he got banned for a long time, maybe banned for life. I'm not quite sure what, but
really,
yeah.
and jailed what, maybe,
I think, because there's the thing with
assault.
Contact sports, I suppose, like, you know, people make accidents sometimes, like people, you know, are accidentally touch you inappropriately sometimes when you're doing anything contact, but if you're doing it intentionally, like that is bad behavior in when you can't just be like, well, it's all a bit of a laugh. You're like, well, in the middle of a scrum, you can't really ask them what their views on body autonomy are. So you've got to definitely just like ban these people.
Feel it out.
Yeah, well, you know.
Sorry.
Moving on from fiddling with genitals onto another lighter story. So this one's around Ronnie O'Sullivan. Do you know who Ronnie O'Sullivan is?
Yes.
Yeah, sneaker player.
Oh, damn it.
Yes, I got in before. I told you my Ronnie O'Sullivan story, didn't I? When I walked down a high
street. Is he from
Leicester? No, he's not. But I walked down a high street and I said to my boyfriend, I went, I know that guy. I recognise him. I think he's one of my teachers from my school. And Kenny went, what, Ronnie O'Sullivan? I went, oh, right, yeah, he's famous, isn't he?
Was he waiting outside a supermarket in a queue?
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
That is me for today on the podcast. You two have fun, but I've definitely done my job.
So he was in the Northern Ireland Open on the weekend, for the last week. And any ideas where that was played?
Ooh, I mean, this feels like a trick question.
It does, yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It feels like
in a silly world of 2020, it was played in Milton Keynes. But
Okay.
That yeah, no particular reason, whatsoever. But all of
the only bit the IRA were like, you keep that.
So anyway, the story here, even though he got to the final and he ended up losing, but the story here is that he farted during a match and it was a really loud one.
Really bad.
It got captured on TV.
Famously quiet, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
How bad was it?
You could definitely hear it, and everyone stopped and looked, and initially he blamed the ref and he said, was that you? And the ref was like, no. And he said, actually, I'm owning up to that. I'm proud of it. So I'm owning up to it.
Well, no, I mean, he wasn't owning up to it. It's just the ref said no, and he didn't really have anywhere else to go, did he? He sort of painted himself into a corner.
Has he done that deliberately to, like, intimidate his people? Put the opponent off or something.
No, it wasn't when the other guy was taking a shot. But apparently he had dodgy stomach all week. And yeah, he just let one rip.
Oh my god, that's just
it's
so...
like, look at it, when does farting not be funny?
I've done it before when you've been in a situation and I always just go god, this chair is just
because
I can hear that, you know, the snooker used to always be on BBC2, didn't it, like back in the day before the Simpsons, and I mean it's just a fart, thank god, because it's a tedious sport.
I'm like, why have I not seen that on the internet this week? I want to Google that
because no one was watching it. That's the problem with snooker. Like, it's not really a fun sport to watch on telly.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do a fart in a sport, then snooker is dry, it's silent. That's the sport to do it in. But here's...
Like the perfect fart.
Really pick the environment.
Dry and silent. Mwah, perfect.
So is this another TV program you're pitching, Matt? The perfect
dry fart. The perfect fart. It's going to be like, you know, Don't Rock the Boat. 12 celebrities eat baked beans for a week and try and achieve the perfect fart. Emma Willis hosts. I'm doing the spin-off show. The perfect fart follow through. That's going to be it on ITV2.
I mean, it works.
It does work. I'd watch it. You could go to locations like a library or, you know,
absolutely.
Any other very,
you know, and you'd be like, this week on A Perfect Fart, we've got people eating asparagus or whatever it is that makes people fart.
So here's the irony of the snooker story is that the person he played in the final was called Judd Trump.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, come on.
I was going to go for Danny McFarts, but never mind.
Quite close, though.
I think did he do it on purpose? Because Ronnie O'Sullivan's character, isn't he? He's like a funny guy. So maybe he had that planned all along. I don't
know. Is he a bit of a card? Is he one of those guys, Ronnie O'Sullivan?
He is. He's a very controversial character. Speaks his mind.
Is Trump a relation to Donald Trump? So, like, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. Like, he's won the game.
Yeah. Maybe. He's world number one at the moment, and he wins a lot of tournaments. So maybe he's, like, you know, paying people off.
Is he an English guy, Trump?
He is, yeah. So, yeah, there we go. That sums up the sporting news on the note of farting.
Look, I mean, when we started doing this show, I was like, I don't think I want to hear about sports. And all I've learned every week is there is always a bit of sporting news that is absolutely for me. And it's that's the one it is this week. You know, I'm just learning that the things that happen in sport are silly and funny.
And you've developed a fabulous idea for a new TV show. So it's a real win-win.
Look, you know, when we're doing the third series of Silent and Dry, Wet Stain on ITV2 with, you know, and I bet someone like flipping Kerry Katona is stood in the middle of a silent lift trying to fart her heart out. I'll be thanking everyone on this podcast when I win the BAFTA.
Oh, God. Right. I think the only man who can restore a bit of sanity around here is this man. It's time for Jog and Klopp.
Hello, Spot Virgins. Jargon Klopp here. This week's spotting jargon is the Fosbury Flop.
Oh my God, this is so exciting. I think I know this.
Yeah.
The Fosbury Flop is, I think I might know.
Oh, hang on. Amy, do you think you know this?
The Fosbury Flop, I know the saying. Is something in swimming?
I think it's in diving.
No, you're both right. But, okay, but man, you were far more enthusiastic, though.
I really, you know what? Even if you don't know, just a bit of gusto. That's all that you need.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, flopping into the water, that kind of makes sense.
Why have I heard it? I know that, and it's really annoying.
I thought it's when someone does a dive that's gone wrong, a Fosbury flop.
It's in the athletics. It's one of the athletics.
Oh, it's triple jump.
Oh
no! No! No.
Yeah,
no.
Oh, no. High jump!
Yes, that's it. When they go over,
bingo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yes, right. Wait. High jump is correct. With a pole is incorrect because that's pole vault.
Oh, right. Okay, fine.
I think
okay,
you need to just explain what it is.
Okay. I mean, basically, what happened was we went through all of the sports until we got to one that was right. Amy, we should do this.
And we were confident on each one.
With Dylan just looking at us like, why the hell have I asked these two idiots to do a podcast with me? Like, you know, we just listen. Cross country skiing. Is it snowboarding, but with the poles?
So the Fosbury flop. So high jump is there's a mat and there's a pole and you have to jump over the pole basically.
You see a pole? I said a pole.
Okay, yeah, there was a pole. But, there was a pole involved.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah there is a pole, but yeah, you're not using a pole.
Not, for not, like, my head.
Not yeah. like a gondola, which was the action I did to describe it.
So it's the high jump, but it's not the pole where you run up and you bounce off a pole, if that
no,
makes sense.
That's, no, exactly.
That's pole that vaulting, called? Amy. Grow up. I mean, I only found that out 45 seconds ago from old Sport Ray man here, but...
So in the high jump, so people used to run up to it and basically try and jump over it by any means possible, but typically they'd kind of use their legs first or try and like dive over it. But the Fosbury flop in 1968, a US athlete called Dick Fosbury, he decided to jump backwards over the bar. So it's kind of like head first backwards where he arches his back over the bar. And there's a real technique to it because, you know, you run in on a certain angle and you need to set off on a certain speed and trajectory. So it's quite technical and it's quite hard to do. But yeah, you kind of go backwards head first over the pole.
I'm just really disappointed they had an opportunity to call it the Dick Flop and they didn't. Like, come on, guys.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even
like,
know.
The Fosbury Flop is already funny, but like, you could have really had a home run there.
They did not think that through.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, I remember having to try and learn this at school and it was really
hard,
embarrassing. And I remember thinking I'm going to break my neck.
Yeah.
But you know what? Thank God you learned it because day-to-day life now, doesn't that come in useful?
So the reason why they didn't do it beforehand, or maybe they didn't think of it, but before, they used to land in sand or quite a thin mat, so it wasn't really good to be landing on your back or head first. So as soon as they developed a thicker matting, old Dick thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go head first backwards.
I really liked high jump at school. Like, of all the, I mean, I quite like track and field, but like, I found it when you got it right, it is really satisfying to get that flop right.
I mean, anytime you're just jumping on a big, thick blue mat is quite satisfying.
That was good fun, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Amy, how's your high jump skills?
Oh, not very good. I'm not sure I ever achieved one. Yeah, I can't. I don't think I ever did it.
So, the floor to the mat is kind of the jump for you.
I think I attempted that and I just found it a bit intimidating. A bit like when you do a headstand, I'm like, no way, it's going to break my neck. So
it's not a short person's game, the high jump.
It's really not. It is not.
Whereas I always quite enjoyed it because I'm being quite tall. You have a slight advantage.
Yeah, I think it's quite a lot of bravery.
How was yours, Dylan, since you're asking? You know, you're Mr. Sportsman.
Nah, average, to be honest with you. I was better at stuff like, you know, the running and throwing, but I'm not massively tall, so that wasn't my strongest point. It's quite a hard skill to do, to be honest with you.
So the Fosbury flop is actually a good thing because it must be the only thing in sport where a flop is a positive thing.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a good point, yeah.
But I will always remember it as the Dick flop now.
So keep your eyes peeled in the Olympics next year for the Fosbury flop. You know, it's quite
Does everyone do it?
Yeah, everyone does it. It's now the
standard.
It's the go-to technique.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And it's
very technical.
But
imagine if you did develop a high jump now where you like ran and went over with your legs first or something. That would be super cool now, wouldn't it? Like, you'd have to nail it, but...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
I'd work on that if I was good at jumping.
But yeah, that's it. That's it from good old Jorgen for this week.
Thanks very much.
Always enlightening.
But at least we're getting confident enough to guess now.
Yeah. So yeah, with your success rate of guessing, I can't wait for the quiz.
But now it's time for the quiz. So we are going to have to really get serious because it's neck and neck, aren't we?
It is still neck and neck.
Yeah, we are. 29-29, I believe.
Oh, it's going to be tense on Quiz Akabusi.
Question one. Who won the first ever Rugby World Cup? Okay, Amy.
Italy.
Matt.
I've gone for an Amy approach. Bill has won the Rugby World Cup. He won it the first time. A guy called Bill. No, France is what I've gone for.
Oh, France is close. The answer is New Zealand.
How is France close? I think in the grand scheme of things. Okay, go on. Go on, you because give us some context.
New Zealand beat France in the final.
Oh, I see. What year was that?
That was in 1987.
Oh,
that's really recent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yes, quite a new thing for Rugby World Cups.
My logic was it'll be somewhere that's close to England because we would have exported it in the 1800s.
Yeah, no.
I was wrong.
No, World Cups are quite new. Italy, yeah, way off. They actually lost by about 80 points to New Zealand in that tournament. So on another day, they could have won. So, you know.
Should have known that. Yeah, they're a good squad over there.
Okay, question number two. What distance did Mo Farah win a gold medal in? So if you're paying attention to I'm a Celebrity, you might know this.
He's very funny in it, isn't he?
He's good.
He's a good booking. I thought he'd be a bit dry in there, but he's great fun.
Yeah.
I've not watched it yet.
Okay, Amy, do you want to go first on this one?
Just guess a distance, mate.
I'll give you a clue, Amy. There's two to choose from.
1,500?
No.
4,000?
Oh, close. So he won his first gold medal in the 5,000.
Oh!
Then the second in the 10,000. So 5,000.
The 4,000's not a thing, is it?
It's not a thing. Okay, so question number three. How many games make up a set in tennis?
A set?
Yes, so Matt's looking cocky, which means he's going to get it wrong. Okay, Amy, are you ready?
Seven?
Matt?
Six.
The answer is six.
Yeah.
So Amy, you're not completely wrong because The tie break at the end of a set is first to seven, but
that's what I was thinking. I was like, you have to be one over
in the tiebreaker. In the tiebreaker, that is the case. But you just need to get to six. Yeah, and you need to win by two games. Hence why sometimes you do go to seven, but six to get to a set.
Stop looking so smug, Richardson.
It's the only spot I know anything about. I've done a few bits weirdly for Wimbledon. Like, I don't know why, but like years ago, me and Goran Ivanisevic.
Okay,
We did some alternative commentary to Wimbledon together, the point was that I didn't know anything. He was so angry to be working with me, I can't quite describe it.
Why was he so angry with you?
Well, because like we were doing it on this big screen and it was like a public event, so he'd be going, well, it's a very good shot, and I'd be like, oh, is it good because he did a little thing with his foot? And he'd be like, no, that is the opposite of good. And like just, obviously just thought I was this clown. But anyway, I digress. Carry on.
We'll go around. Okay, so question number four. How many points do you need to win a game in squash? Amy?
25?
I've got an interesting fact about squash before I give my answer. Legally, you have to be a middle-aged white businessman to play it. It's the rule, like everyone in the Olympic teams, even the women's Olympic teams, they're all bankers. It's unbelievable. 14 is my guess.
Okay, so the answer is 9.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, well. You're learning something.
I didn't even realise there were rules. I just thought it was just an anger kind of fitness thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
I thoroughly recommend squash, actually. It's a great sport to play.
Well, when lockdown's over, that's the first thing we're doing together.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, so question number 5. How many runs do you get for hitting the ball over the boundary in cricket without bouncing? Matt, do you want to go first?
4.
Amy?
It's 10.
The answer is 6.
Oh!
Nearly.
So Matt...
We were both very close.
I was the closer.
Yeah, well, you get a 4 if the ball goes over the boundary, but if it's bounced.
Oh, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, so, okay, so where are we now? Question number 6. So what country is Pep Guardiola from?
I mean, a very sexy one. Sorry.
Do you know who he is?
Yes, I've got quite a crush.
He's a footballer?
Well, he was a footballer.
He was, what, is he now dead?
No.
I don't know, do I?
Well, I'll tell you after you've given your guesses. Go on, Matt, you go first.
Uruguay.
Amy. I forgot the question. Is it where he's from? Yeah.
Yeah.
Italy?
No, Spain.
Oh.
Well,
Spain's,
you know,
got it in for me.
I would argue I'm the closest because they did colonise Uruguay, so...
He has got an absolutely smashing selection of scarves as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a very stylish man. Maybe that's why he thought he was Italian, but yeah, he's a very stylish man. He's the manager of Man City, Matt. Current manager.
Is he not a footballer?
He was. He used to play for Spain many times in Barcelona, but he's now the manager of Man City.
Okay, fine. Nice.
Okay, we're not doing too well on this one, are we?
No.
This is a shocker.
Number 7. Name one team that David Moyes has managed.
David Moyes?
Yeah, I'll give you a clue. He's a football manager.
Well, you'd hope. If not just walking in, is he?
And I'll give you another clue as we're struggling here. He's managed 3 Premier League teams. What? Name one team that David Moyes has managed. Amy?
Man United.
Matt?
Arsenal.
The answer is, you could have had West Ham, you could have had Everton, or you could have had Man United.
Yay!
God's sake.
Woo.
Well done, Amy.
And what's funny is the other club I was going to mention was none of the other two. So luckily, you can go for that.
Good on you. Okay, now this should be an easy one. Question number 8. Who is the current captain of the England football team? I see some panicky faces in front of me.
Oh no, I know this is wrong as well.
Okay, so Matt, you want to go first then?
I'll give you the first answer I wrote down. That's only fair. Gareth Southgate. It's the only name that came to my head. I know it's not him, but I can't think of another footballer right now.
You said captain, right?
Captain, yeah.
Right. Harry Kane?
Yes, correct, Amy. Yay! Harry Kane.
For God's sake.
He is the captain.
Southgate's the manager, Matt, isn't he?
Correct. He's the manager.
So you were close.
I'm glad he was like involved at least.
Question number 9. So where is Eden Park? I think this is going to be a tough one, but it is related to one of the other earlier questions. Amy?
As a guess, I'll go rugby.
No, where? Oh, as in rugby the place.
Oh, no, sorry. Oh, wait, where is Eden Park? Okay, yeah. New Zealand.
Okay, so, Matt.
I think it's where Everton play.
Wrong, the answer is New Zealand. Amy's on three in the bounce.
That is a...
That's not fair.
Play.
There's only 200 countries. That's like a 0.5% chance if you guess.
Wow.
Who play at Eden Park?
New Zealand play at Eden Park.
There's only like 9 people in that country. Fair enough.
And it's where the Rugby World Cup final was played.
What's Everton's ground called?
It's a Goodison Park.
I mean, you know. Who knows that? Like, who knows the difference of those two? I think I speak for the majority here when I say that question
well,
is bullshit.
I got that out of a guess. That Dylan kindly gave us a clue that it was based on another question. So I went rugby. That's why I
nearly
that's
put
why
Cornwall.
I said rugby.
I was like, oh, it'll be near the Eden Project, Eden Park, won't it?
Okay, so last question. Who is Ernie Els?
How are you spelling Els?
E-L-S.
Oh, yeah, okay, thanks.
Because that'll make the difference. Are you Googling?
No, I'm not Googling. Like, I'm going to lose this... With my pride intact.
Amy, you're looking quite confident.
No, not really. I've just gone for a guess. But I guess I'll go in with confidence.
Okay, and?
I think I would imagine a darts player.
Okay, Matt?
I've also put darts player.
No
You've
way.
You've gone for the Barry Smith route.
Yeah.
The answer is golf.
Oh,
look, I've started to click that the quiz is sort of vaguely related to the things we've talked about before. So maybe we should start just... You know, start going for the things that, you know, you've said previously.
You mean you've worked me out?
I haven't worked you out, but like there's a theme to each episode.
Yeah, yeah sort
I've
of.
Listened,
yeah.
I've listened to six of these now. I know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. So what were the scores on the doors on that particular round? So
it is now 32 to Amy and 30 to me.
Okay. How? I only got three in that round. How
I only got one.
Did you?
So,
oh, wow.
3-1 to Amy. It was looking pretty after 0 from 5, but...
Yeah.
You really came back in the second half.
I really did, yeah.
Just like England in the 1996 World Cup.
That's it, yeah. It's a game of two halves, Matt. This is the thing, you know.
You know what? Weirdly, I had an electrician at my house today and he was talking about something with football. And I was like, right, I host a sports podcast. I can do this. And we were talking about football and everything I said out of my mouth, it looked like someone was pricking him with a needle as I said it, because he was going, like, and I'm making this face like he was in pain because it was all so wrong. But I said it with such gusto.
Yeah.
That like he was just like, yeah.
Were you just regurgitating things from this pocket? Did you tell him about Bill Smith, that darts player in Australia? Is that what
you know what I told him about? I was like, well, pff, Ryan bloody Reynolds.
Yeah.
But he bloody bought Wrexham, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Ugh. And they're doing middling. Like, I just, it was a real shot. As soon as I started the conversation, I instantly regretted it.
Well, you tried, and that's all we can do at the moment, isn't it? We're all trying. And
you're learning. That's
We're
amazing.
Learning. Well, we hope so. We hope so.
We're learning.
So.
If you're not laughing, you're
what
learning.
What a surprise. What a surprise. 32-30. Still all to play for. There's a sporting phrase thing for you.
I don't think that's a sporting
Yes,
phrase.
It is. All to play for, isn't
but
it?
Kind of,
that's what they say in games at halftime, surely. When
well,
it's
you
like,
know what? The ball's in your court, Amy. So
exactly. Thank
know what
you.
I'm saying anymore.
Yeah. It's, oh, no, I've said a game of two halves. Anyway, yeah, it's a knockout.
They think it's all over.
It is now. Well, I think we're armed. Well, you are armed, Matt, with some more information for your electrician, hopefully. You can go in with some chat about the...
Yeah, I think he's very excited to come around tomorrow.
Maybe you could move on to a different sport, find out what he's really into. Like
if you... that bloody Gareth Southgate, managing England.
Are you going to be wearing your virtual augmented reality headset when he's walking
I
in?
I am. I'm going to be like, I tell you what. I tell you what, how's your day been? Because I tell you what's bloody got my goat. VAR. Am I right?
Like, am I right? Controversial, hey? You're armed. You're armed with all this
information.
It's like magic.
I'm going to be a conversational god.
And if you're a sports virgin like me and Matt, then maybe this is, hopefully this is arming you with lots of info as well. I feel like we're providing a service and that's encouraging, I think.
Yeah, I think this absolutely is. Like, we're showing the public how to behave and how to act, and it's okay to be a sports virgin.
Absolutely. So, Dylan, thanks again for educating us.
Thank you, Dylan.
We will try not to watch any sport this week, and you can fill us in again next week with Jargon Klopp. Thank you for listening to Sports Virgins, a Pomodo production. Please follow us and like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can follow us on your social media platform of choice. We are at Sports Virgins. Follow us, tell us some sports facts, or more preferably, tell us that you know less than us.
That would help. Or any kind of sporting stupidity, please.